Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
So we're in this series called Save the Date, and we started a couple weeks ago. It's finishing next week. I want to encourage you, be here next Sunday. It's going to be a very special Sunday. We're going to get to hear from a couple who has been married for just about a year, and then someone else who's been married for almost 40 years. So we're going to really just cover the gamut on next Sunday. So I want you to be here as we wrap up this series, Save the Date. And today, I really do want to focus on our minds and on our thoughts and the things that race through our heads. So let me start here. Anybody know some talkative people? If they're next to you, do not nudge them. That's not kind, okay? If anyone knows some talkative people in their home, if you didn't raise your hand, it's you, okay? Let you in on it. But in our house, we have four talkative people. So you can imagine how that goes. If you've been around our house, you know that all of us are fighting for the table and for the ability to express our opinions. But I want to introduce you to the most talkative person you know, and that's you. Let me say it this way. You talk to you more than anyone else. You are the most talkative person in your life for you. You spend all day with you. You talk all the time to yourself. That's why you're so unhappy. You can't get away from you. But we're going to work through that this morning, okay? But really, I want to ask you, and I think you know what I'm saying there, right? Like your mind is constantly going. You can't turn this thing off. And sometimes you'll even verbalize it, what you're thinking, when there's no one else around. So I want to ask you to reflect this morning, what do you tell yourself all day long? What are you constantly saying to you? Now, we're in this series, Save the Date, where we're looking at God's word to inform marriage, sex, relationships. What does God have to say about marriage and singleness? And we're letting him speak to us. But before we can even like let God speak, we have to be surrendered to what he wants to say. And to do that, we've got to know what we say. All the time, all day long, there is a track on repeat in your mind. There are certain things that have become normal for you to think, for me to think, for us to say when situations come up. So think about it in the context of marriage, right? When your marriage is struggling, do you immediately think, well, my marriage isn't perfect, but God is, and he's going to work this out? Or is your thoughts drift towards, no matter what I do, this marriage just won't get better? You see the difference there? Did you guys all disappear already? I'm only 2 minutes in, okay? You're all the time, God is good. Look at this one. If someone really knew me, they wouldn't want me. After all I've done, I'll never have a good marriage. That's a thought. If someone really knew who I was, they would never want me. Do you say that to yourself all the time? How about this? I'm just going to live however I want now, singles lean in, because what I do now won't affect my marriage later. It's a thought, and a thought turns into actions. You believe that long enough, well, I can just live however I want. You start living however you want. How about this? My marriage is beyond repair. No matter what, it will never work. Is that what goes on in our heads over and over and over? How about this one? This one's spicy. You okay? All right. Everyone flirts. Everyone looks. I'm not doing anything wrong. Besides, she's not meeting my needs anyway. You say that one long enough, that's not going to end well. Everyone does it. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Just trying to show you. Some of you didn't know. I got into your brain this week and put it on the screen. How did he know? What I think? Here's another one. I come from a divorced and broken family. No one in my family will ever have good marriages. Parents were divorced. Their parents were divorced. Aunts and uncles are divorced. Come on, we start saying these things enough, we start believing them for long enough, they shape our minds. Today, I want to talk to you about four lies that will destroy your marriage. I want you to write them down. We're going to get there. They're not these, but there's four lies. But before we get to those specific lies, I want to spend some time talking about thoughts and thought patterns. And hey, if any of these thoughts that are on this screen resonate with you, I want you to know you are in the best place possible this morning because God has a good plan for you. This isn't about being beat up, it's about being built up. It's about the faithfulness and the grace of God, but we've got to do the hard work to dig in for a couple minutes and say, what do I think all day long? What do I think about my spouse, about my life, about my singleness? And you can expand this. We're going to frame it in marriage, sex, and relationships, but what do you think about your future, about your friendships, about your the goals that God might have for you? Like, what do you wake up telling yourself? Are you Eeyore or Tigger? Where do you land on that? How do you start your day? So I want you to understand, every single person in this room, every single one of us, we got ants in our brain. You guys ever seen an ant? Take a look at this screen. Look at this ant. Come on. Some of you feel itchy already. Give it a couple minutes. We'll see who's a little sensitive to pictures. Look at that ant. Small. You ever had an ant problem in your house? My goodness, the season's coming. I don't know why they decide now's the time. Maybe because we're buying a little more ice cream, right? Just Mr. Softy's coming around, and so do the ants. You ever seen an ant hill just go up on some sprinkles outside? It looks like the ground's moving. Okay, well, you've got that in your head. What I mean by that is an ant is an automatic negative thoughts. It's your automatic negative thoughts. And they run through your head. Automatic. You don't even have to think about what you're gonna think about because life has already conditioned you and you've already accepted the automatic negative thought that you will dwell on when a situation comes up. Your spouse is coming home late. What do you think? They must be working hard, or I wonder where they are. What are they doing? Who are they with? Do you see that? Where do you go? The ant's already there. We have automatic negative thoughts that run through our minds. More than anyone else, you talk to you all day long. And so we've got to get a handle on what's automatic, what's negative, and we've got to do something about it. Why? Because God says so. That should just be enough. Because he loves you so much that he doesn't want you living with ants in your brain. And that's good news. He doesn't want us embracing these automatic negative thoughts. Here's God's word. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How am I going to be transformed? Say it with me. By the renewing of your mind. We need our minds renewed. Because once our minds have been renewed, then we're able to test and approve what God's will is. And hey, I want you to know, and so does Paul, his will is good, pleasing, and perfect. How many want to know the good, pleasing, perfect will of God for their lives, right? That's the easy one. Hand goes up. Ooh, ceiling's low. I am tall on this stage. I can touch the ceiling. Come on, we want our minds renewed. So we don't, I love this, the patterns of the world. Hey, followers of Jesus, you and I should not be thinking the same patterns that we used to think before Christ. We shouldn't be thinking the same patterns that those around us who don't yet know the grace of God think when it comes to marriage, sex, and relationships. There's a renewal process. We're going to talk about how to be renewed, but let me give you this verse too, Ephesians 4:22. Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life. That's your old way, the way you lived before Jesus. Now listen, some of you are still there, but I believe today you're gonna get to come to Jesus. I believe that. But your old way, you were taught, put off the old self. Don't live that way anymore. That self is being corrupted by deceitful desires. And instead, you were taught to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Just look at that last part there. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. Your mind has an attitude. It might have an attitude problem. Our minds think things. Our thoughts go places. So we need our minds renewed. Here's the last verse. Write this one down. We're going to come back to it a lot today. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Let's say this together and let's say it with confidence. Come on. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. You know what business we're in? The taking thoughts captive business. What if you made that resolve for your marriage? What if that was your resolve for your singleness? For where you are in life, in your relationships. An ant tries to get in there. No, I'm squashing that ant. That ant's not staying here. I'm not believing that. I'm not drifting towards the automatic negative thoughts. So let me give you some practical application rooted in the scriptures we just read. And then we're going to get to the four lies. You want to squash some ants? How many want to be an ant squasher? How many want to say, no more ants in my mind? No more automatic negative thoughts. I'm not living this way any longer. I'll give you three practical things. Here's the first. We just read it. Capture. Everyone say capture.
Capture.
Got to take it captive. You and I need to identify the lie. Identify the lie. Take the thought captive. Capture it. Like, think about what you think about. Just identify it. Okay, so a situation comes up. So here's a good one. This is scary for some of us. Are you ready? You text someone. The read receipt shows they read it. And they don't text you back. Are they mad at me? Did I say something wrong? I wrote okay, like with two letters. Should I have done O-K-A-Y? What are they thinking? When are they gonna get back to me? Oh my, did they get into an accident? Are they alive? Are they okay? No, it's probably fine. It's just fine. They're working. Where do they work? What do they do for work? I don't even know what they do for work. I hope they're not mad at me. Do you see the ants? With a read receipt on a text message. Now what happens when you're trying to do the hard work in a marriage that's under fire? When you're struggling in your marriage? You gotta capture the thoughts. You gotta capture it. You gotta actually take inventory of what you're thinking. And then once you identify the lie, you throw a question at it. Here's the second part. Question it. Question it. Is it true? Is it from God? Would my heavenly Father say this, think this? Where did I learn this? Was it from the Bible or from Netflix? That matters. Who told me this? In fact, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they sinned and suddenly they are naked, hiding, and afraid, God comes looking and says, where are you? And they say just that, well, we hid because we were naked and afraid. And this is what he asked them. This is the question you've got to ask your thoughts. Who told you that? That's a powerful question. That will peel back layers. I'm meeting with my counselor tomorrow. I can't wait to get in there because I got some layers to peel back. It's only been a month since we talked. And I know he's going to start throwing this question at me. Who told you that? Where'd it come from? When was the first time you believed that lie? Let's go back to your childhood. Let's go back to a situation. Who told you that? And he's a Christian counselor, so his hope is to get me to see that's not in scripture, my friend. Your heavenly Father did not tell you that. Let's identify the lie. Let's capture it. Let's question it. You can do this. And then we need to replace it. We capture it, we question it, and we replace it. Now, here's where the believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have an advantage at this point. Because up until this, I mean, maybe you're even saying, like, when are we going to open? We're going to open scripture. We already did. Just want to be practical today for your marriage, your singleness. But you can capture it, and you can question it, and you can replace it with something, but the follower of Christ knows, I'm going to replace it with God's truth. Because God's truth does not fail. Because God's truth does not stop. Because his faithfulness, his mercies, his grace are for me. If you believe that, would you say amen? Come on. So what do I replace it with? Well, here you go. Philippians 4:8. Write this one down. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. How do I fix my thoughts? Capture, question, replace. Okay. What am I going to fix them on? On what is, if we started thinking these things. What's true? What's honorable? What's right? What's pure? I'm going to think about lovely things. I'm going to think about admirable things. They don't deserve my thoughts in that direction. Didn't ask you. I'm just going to think lovely things. I'm going to think admirable things. Hey, I'm going to think about things that are excellent, worthy of praise. And if you're wondering who wrote this and from where, it is the Apostle Paul on house arrest. If he's got a reason to not think about any of that things, he's got the reason. I'm going to think about how I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to think about how I shouldn't be here. I'm going to think about those that lied to me. No, I'm going to think about lovely things and right things and admirable things. Let me just ask you this. What have you got to lose to try it? You're talking to you anyway. Maybe you'll like you a little better more if you do this. You might want to be around you if you start thinking about these things. Come on, we're going to capture, question, and replace it. Let's say those things together. Come on. Capture, question, and replace it with the truth of God's word. With God's word. Don't replace it with another lie. Don't replace it with culture's narrative. No, replace it with God's word. You good? Yeah. All right. Four lies. I'm just going to give these to you. We're going to process these together. So if you're married, these lies may be ants that are already in your mind. Now you know how to squash the ants. If you're single heading towards marriage, what a blessing that you can identify the lies before you get there. Okay? And if you're on the other side of marriage, I want you to process these in terms of relationships and friendships. All of this is going to matter, okay? Good? Here's the first one. First lie. I can change him or her. I can change him. I can fix him. He's not even going to know what's coming. I'm going to fix everything about him. Okay. How many have heard the adage, opposites attract? You heard that? Okay. Once you're married, opposites attack. Because when you were dating him, it was cute. He was Mr. Flexible. He was carefree. He just went with everything. And now that you're married, he's Mr. Don't pick up after himself and don't come home on time. When you were dating, she was strong and confident, and you loved that about her. And now she's controlling and nagging because you're married. She changed. He changed. Do you know why? Because that's what happens. Okay? That's just what happens. And now you're in this marriage, and you're believing the lie, well, I know what I can do. I'll change him. I'll change her. I'll make her become the version of a wife that I want. I'll fix everything that's wrong with her. And we have expectations in our marriage. So don't hear me that you should just let go of any expectation and not have healthy standards, especially God's standards for your marriage, okay? Don't misinterpret that. And they're not always wrong. Like the things that you want maybe about your spouse, like things like, I just wish that he would pay attention to me. I wish her life didn't revolve around the kids. I wish she wouldn't drink so much. I wish he could control his temper. These aren't wrong wishes or expectations. But you have to understand that's a lie. Here's why. You can't change your spouse. Only God can. Only God can. What did we just sing? Lord, send revival. Send it. Because only you can change me. And only you can change him. And only you can change her. So if you'll reject that lie, and instead we're going to capture it, we're going to question it. Well, who even told me that I can somehow change another person? The only thing I realized I could change about my kids was their diapers. And I barely did that. Well, come on. We can't change people, but God can. So you want to know what you do when you're faced up against a spouse, married people? When you really do, you have healthy expectations. They are right. They are biblical. Do you know your best weapon? Pray. Oh, so I came to church just to tell you, have you tell me to pray? Yes. Pray. Pray for your spouse. Pray. And I want to give you two prayers to pray specifically if this is the lie that you've accepted. Here's the first one. Pray for God to change them. It's not a bad thing to pray. You know why Amy's not in this room right now? She's teaching kids over there. Because then she would tell you how many years she spent praying for God to change me. And I don't want you to know about that. Okay? But you pray for God to change your spouse. Actually, I remember when she told me, hey, I've been praying for God to change you. And it was way different than when she said, you need to change. I love you and I want you to know I've been praying for God to change you in this area. Well, I rebuke that prayer in Jesus' name. Here's what James chapter 5 says. The prayer of a righteous person has great, what's the word? Power. Has great power as it is working. Here's the beautiful thing about praying. Watch this. The beautiful thing about praying for God to change your spouse is that he's going to change you in the process. Praying for your spouse, you don't know if you'll see the fruit of that, but I guarantee you get serious about prayer and fasting for your spouse, you will change. Your thoughts about that person will change. So here's the second prayer. Pray for God to change your spouse. And secondly, pray for God to change you. Pray for him to change you. I love this. Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, O God. Now I know I wish it says, search Amy, O God. And know her heart. Search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and test me, and know my anxious thoughts. We call that a dangerous prayer. Because you pray that, you know what the Holy Spirit will do? He'll answer it. He'll show up. He'll show you. Okay, you want me to search? You have opened the door, my friend, to me searching. And we're going to search. We're going to get into the little parts of your heart where anxious thoughts are, where you got, the Lord's got to test you to say, hey, we want to refine this. Doesn't that sound better than believing a lie that just says, I can change him? God has such a better plan for you. Here's a second lie. A good marriage is always 50-50. A good marriage is always 50-50. This sounds great. In fact, someone may have told you along the way, hey, if you want a good marriage, you got to both be in it. You got to do your part. It's got to be fair. It's got to be equal. Do you know what we call that? A lie. It's a lie. In fact, when you start believing this lie, that there should be as much give as there is take and that things should be equal, you stop having a covenant and you enter into a contract. and you start keeping tabs on your spouse. Well, you went golfing, so I'm going out with the girls. Well, I did the laundry, so it's your turn to do the dishes. Well, you came home late again. You start keeping track. You start keeping record, because the only thing you're concerned about is fairness. And that will destroy your marriage. Here's what Scripture has to say about scorekeeping. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Maybe you are so unhappy in your marriage because all you're doing is keeping score, and the score is not going in your favor. So what if, this is just hypothetical, we don't have to do this, it's just a theory. What if instead of making our marriage 50-50, we both committed to 100% all in? What would that do? What would happen? Here's another way to ask that. What happens if you don't? What happens if you and I keep going down that same easy path of, well, if I, then she. If he does, then I will. And he didn't, so I will. Just play it out. Students in this space, those that are younger, singles, oh, if you can grab onto this now. If you can grab on, go all in on your marriage. Go all in. It's a covenant, not a contract. Sound all right? Yeah. A little heavy. Two more. They're only going to get worse. So if you don't like it, please leave now. How about this one? This one little thing isn't a big thing. Remember, we're just talking about ants. We're talking about lies. Here's a third lie. You know what? This one little thing isn't really a big thing. It's not a big deal. In the time that I've had so far, pastoring, meeting with couples, talking with people, I'm telling you from my experience on this side of the table and on this side of the table, when it comes to marriage disruptions and moments of crisis, it's rarely one big moment that destroys a marriage. It's all the little moments left unchecked that got them there. It's very rare. I haven't had it yet, where someone has sat down and said, tell me how this happened. Well, I woke up today and I decided I would destroy my marriage by having sex with someone else. You just decided that like 3 hours ago? Yeah, but just, that doesn't happen. It's little things left unchecked over time. Here's how the scriptures say it. This is a great book to read. Guys, if you need fresh poetry material, you don't want to use Hallmark, go to Song of Solomon, okay? Just give me a little tip there. It's a love story, and here's what they write to each other. Look at this verse, Song of Songs 2:15. Catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the grapevines are blossoming. Super poetic. And in this culture, they would have understood, so let me bring you in, why the little foxes were a threat to the vineyard. Because the little foxes would burrow underground, destroy the root system without them even seeing, and then suddenly, what was blossoming, there's no fruit. Wait, we were doing well. Things seemed right on the surface. Yeah, but there were little foxes underneath that you didn't know about. There were things burrowing underground that you thought it's not a big deal. Since it's so awkward in here, let me read some of what I wrote. They're just secret sins. It's just a lustful thought. It's just a critical spirit I have. It's just a little secret spending that he doesn't know about. It's just a small little addiction. I've got a handle on it. No, I was looking up the person I used to date to see how they are so I could pray for them, Pastor. It was harmless. I just wanted to see how she was and how she still looked. She still looks good, so I kept looking. It's just a little thing. It's not going to lead anywhere. What a stupid lie from the enemy. It's just a flirt. It's just coffee. It's just a glance. Don't worry, I'm managing it. And here's the problem, because that's the word that comes up. I've got it under control. It's not a big deal. You know what the problem is? You don't manage sin, you confess it. You and I don't manage sin. We don't keep it in its little box and think it's not going to hurt anyone or hurt us. I've got it under control. It's really not a big deal. Just a little. Just a little. You don't manage sin, you confess it. Why? Because James writes what we read earlier. Here's the other part. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So if there is a little fox, if there is a little thing, the best way to deal with the little thing before it becomes a big thing is to confess the little thing. And the enemy lies to us and says, it's not that big a deal. You're going to do more damage. You're going to hurt her by telling her this. Just control it. It'll be fine. Let's squash the ants. God's got a better plan for our lives as his children. So I can change him. Marriage is 50-50. It's just a little thing. And here's the fourth. Look over here. There's no hope for my marriage. Now, this lie is so hard because there's almost a little truth mixed in it at times. And I want to be very sensitive as it relates to this lie. All right? So I'm asking you to be gracious with me, because I know I don't know everyone in this room or your story. Your past, maybe you're divorced today, your present. I don't know, I'm acknowledging that. So I know this lie, there's no hope for my marriage, is the easiest one to embrace. Because when there's abuse, when there's addiction, when there's betrayal, and that gets thrown into this, it just gets messy. It just does. This is the most dangerous lie for us to believe. Because in actuality, there's parts of it that we say and just conclude that's it. I want to say this to those that your marriage, it's here. Married people, it's here. Like, you've been walking down this path. You've been rehearsing this. The ant has been able to live, maybe form an ant hill in our mind with this one. There's just no hope. There's just no hope. I want to acknowledge it does take two people moving in a direction for restoration. There's a lot in this. And you already know, you and I can't control or change our spouse. So what are we to do when it gets to this point and we believe this? Well, let me just encourage you this. Start here. Just don't believe this one too quickly. Just start there. Just don't jump right to this one. Because this is like you're ready to wave the white flag. And I know if he or she just confessed, right? Because now you're hearing this message. And some marriages this week is going to be the hardest it's ever been, because somebody's going to take the stand against lie number three and confess, and lie number four is going to want to enter your heart right away. Because that's hard when a spouse confesses. There's addiction. There's betrayal. So here's my first encouragement. This is encouragement. Just don't believe this one too quickly. Don't grab onto this one too fast. Second thing that I would encourage you from Scripture is that while the marriage seems hopeless, there's still hope for you personally, individually. I believe there's still hope for two individuals. I just want to talk to you right now. Here's what Jesus says: with God, all things are possible. We can't be followers of Christ and reject that possibility. And I know in the face of whatever you are going through, it sounds like, well, that's just a cliche. It's not a cliche. It's the truth of God's word. It's more powerful than a cliche. Let me share this with you. Last March, 2023, Amy and I went through the hardest point, the hardest situation in our marriage that we had ever been through. Married for 13 years at that point, heading into our 14th anniversary that August. And I'm telling you, last March, and I'm not just using hyperbole, last March was hell for us in our marriage. And it bled into April. We walked through some fire. And our team here and reaching out to friends, meeting with marriage. We already had a marriage counselor, but now it was crisis mode. It was, okay, let's keep going. Personal counselors, all of it, all of it. Do you know how easy that lie wanted to creep in? There's no hope, there's no hope. And you're pastoring, there's no hope. So I'm just coming to you to let you know, I don't live in some kind of protected shell that our marriage just works. Marriages don't just work, they take hard work. They take commitment. And there are times where someone breaks the covenant. And before you grab that lie too quick, there's no hope. Capture it. Question it. Replace it. What if you replace it with the words of Jesus? You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You will know it. You will know this truth and the truth will set you free. So here's how we're going to respond this morning. The worship team's going to join on stage. And I believe Amy's going to come out. So if somebody can make that happen. And we're going to pray together for marriages, for singleness. Thanks, bro. I'm going to grab this. Thank you. For anybody who wants prayer. I just sense we can't not move from this moment. It's not going to be a long prayer. If you've never received prayer before from us or from someone on our team here, we're not going to do anything to make you feel uncomfortable. We're going to anoint you with oil, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. We're just going to pray for you. You don't have to share anything with us. Single, married, divorced. We're just going to pray, and here's our prayer, that your mind would be renewed. I don't know about you, but I want a renewed mind. I want to keep having a daily renewal in my mind. Here's what I say for you. If you're married, come up here with your spouse. If they won't come, that's okay. But ask them, would you go up there with me? Can we get prayer together? I want to pray for you today. These ants don't have to exist anymore. God's got a better plan. So why don't you stand to your feet now? There is a lot of you today. Dave, you're in the room, right? All right. Yeah, Dave, can you come over here? Dave's on our lead pastor, lead team. Helen, are you here? I can't see past the lights. Okay. Helen, you want to go back there in that corner? I know I could have left you there, Dave, but this is happening in real time. Amy, you're here. Come on over there. We'll go on that side. Great. I think that'll be all right. These people, they serve on our lead pastor, lead team. They're elders in the church. So just want you to just get prayed for. It's going to be quick. Just going to pray that God will renew your mind. There's something powerful about stepping out and coming forward. I believe that. So we won't keep you longer than we normally do. The team's gonna sing a song about coming to the altar. Just come, don't wait, don't hesitate. I'm gonna pray now. For some of you, your marriage is so on the rocks, you don't even know this moment the Holy Spirit wants to send revival. Some of you, your marriage is doing great. Holy Spirit wants to breathe more greatness on it. Some of you in your singleness, you're wondering, you're conflicted, you're past a marriage, you're heading into a marriage. The Holy Spirit wants to breathe on you and say, my child, I love you. I'm gonna capture that thought. I'm gonna renew your mind. So let me pray. If you would bow your head, close your eyes, honor the Lord in this moment. God, I pray for every person in this space. I pray, Lord, that as we come before you, as we anoint, as we declare your truth, as we call on your name, that you will send revival. We come to your altar. You are a beautiful Savior. You're wonderful. We need you. Today the lies stop. Today we take captive every thought. Today the strongholds break. Today the enemy has no more authority in our lives in Jesus' name. Today there's freedom. Today there's healing. We look to you. In Jesus' name, amen.